Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert,
freaking awesome.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
But he's too buff to be real!
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an on-location review episode of Scare Kingdom Scream Park. Scare Kingdom is an award-winning scream park with fantastic attractions, including the sick and twisted Psychomantium. So without any further ado, let's take you to our on-location audio with myself and Hannah from Scare Kingdom Scream Park.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Right then, guys, welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast on location here at Scare Kingdom Scream Park. We love coming here. We come every time they have an event. They have Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's, and halfway to Halloween, War Purges Night. We are here for their main Halloween run. This is a little bit of a different style podcast because we can't take the recorder through the attractions, and it is a multi-part event. It's not like other Scream Parks. It's basically where you start at the beginning, you go through each and every attraction, and then you finish at the end. No recording, no videos throughout the whole experience. It's more immersive that way. So what we'll do, we're in the car now to intro this episode. We are going to go out into the cold and go through these mazes. I'm here with Hannah. Hannah, are you excited? You haven't been here for a few years.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time I came was, so I'm dead excited.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So yeah. We're going to go in and we will give you our full in-depth review on each and every attraction when we get out. Remember, you can check out just a few snippets of the bar.
Not
here.
Of the attraction. The snippets will be of the bar at the end.
True. Head over to Scarecam. There is a very mini Scarecam episode. Like I say, you can't record throughout the evening as such, so there's a little bit before and a little bit at the end. But you can check that out over on youtube.com/scaretrack. So let's go and get scared.
Let's get scared.
So guys, we have just come out of Scare Kingdom Scream Park. We've done all the attractions here, including the sick and twisted Psychomantium trick or treat. We're going to go through each attraction here now with you. And the first one was the parlor, which wasn't a scare maze as such. It was a scare experience, they call them now. It was really, really fun. It was like a seance, wasn't it, Hannah?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it really set the scene really well. I got everyone on edge, and I really liked the use of the UV lights and the writing on the wall.
Yeah, definitely. It had a different change. You mentioned that they could have used someone's name on the chalkboard. They had sort of like a chalkboard where the name on it will be damned, and it said all of you, which is a good idea because obviously that means they can use it for every single group. But you were saying potentially You could use someone's name.
Yeah, I've seen it done before, and I think that it would have been a really great trick if they'd managed to get someone's name off a ticket or, sort of grasp someone's name being spoken whilst we're in the waiting room and put someone's name on it. But I don't know how that logistically would work.
I was going to say, logistically,
that would have been an extra scare.
In your dream world.
In my dreams.
But yeah, there's so many hundreds of people that go through it each night. Every couple of minutes is batching. I don't think logistically that would work. You can dream, and the whole scene was a fun way to sort of set up this year Scare Kingdom. We then had the Paradise Foundation, which is it's a new maze here at Scare Kingdom this year, but it's a returning themed maze from elsewhere, another place that atmosphere, scare entertainment have worked on before. So they sort of reused the idea. And it makes sense because it's a quality idea. I liked it. It looked good. The idea was smart. I think the idea was sort of like donating Gordon's kind of thing.
I think so. I think like I couldn't really understand the actors at the start that were setting the scene.
It was very, very loud in there. We're towards the end of the season, so their voices are going to be going. And the people we were with were quite loud as well. So all those different factors.
I kind of grasped. I think we were Patreons, so we... Providers. We were providers, so we were providing the patrons with our organs. It's kind of what I got from it. And if that's not the case, I'm really sorry, but that's what I got from it. But I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's an awesome scare there with someone like this crazy big bodysuit thing.
Oh my God, I didn't even see that person in the bodysuit. I was walking around their table because I was at the front of the group and didn't even spot them until suddenly this person was screaming and writhing in pain in this massive, grotesque bodysuit.
Yeah, it was weird. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, really, really full of traction with the Paradise Foundation. Really, really good. We then moved on to probably a UK favourite by a lot of people because it's so beautifully themed and it's been here a few years now, but it's always reimagined each and every season. Manor Mortis, this time Borley Rectory. And the idea was we were going in there to try and find the spirits, weren't we, really? And although the theme was slightly looser this time to their more theatrical scares throughout the... the Valentine's season, things like that. They can last those mazes a little bit longer because they only opened a couple. This one was more of a solid scare maze with a couple of independent scripted scenes, which, again, were well-written, well-executed, well-spaced out as well.
I always love about Scare Kingdom is they create storylines and scripted scenes and put them into crazy scare mazes where you're sort of screaming for your life and it works and it fits.
Definitely. There was lots of scares in there as well this time. Obviously, they can change that maze up quite a bit with the different types of themes, and there were so many. It felt like more drop boxes than ever.
Yeah, definitely. It was drop box after drop box, and they were hitting us at the front, the middle and the back of our group, and it was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, the actors are working really hard in that maze, so fair play to the actors, because it's grueling getting a group after group after group. We say it for everywhere, but yeah, they really did a really good job in there. So Manor Mortis, really, really good. We then moved on from Manor Mortis to The Blitz, which is an attraction that, again, is used each year but has always got a new theme. And it's basically, to ruin the magic for you, a few shipping containers with some really dark corridors. And that's pretty much it. But wow, it was probably the scariest maze of the night, wasn't it? The Blitz.
It wasn't as dark as I remember, because we got given a torch. Yeah. Well, I say we.
The person in the middle of the group got a torch.
Which was a person that was five people away from me at the front. Yeah. So I saw no torchlight.
But it was a smart idea. also, I like the fact that it wasn't a normal bright torch. It was a slightly dimmed yellow torch. The kind of torch they would use back in The Blitz. And I like the guy at the beginning really did set the scene very well. Yeah. You would think he was an army officer. He set the scene very well. And so it was great characterisation.
It was just a great use of black corridors and then, like, sort of, it kind of looked like windows with curtains repeatedly over and over again. So you never knew when the scare was coming, because every corridor looked exactly the same.
Definitely, yeah. You were just in a labyrinth of dark corridors, and the scares were thick and fast, and the actors, again, such a tight space, worked the space really, really well, and you were absolutely squealing in that maze.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, quite a bit. But yeah, The Blitz, again, for such a simple kind of attraction, really well executed. And like I say, a huge kudos to the guy at the beginning of this attraction. He really was, really awesome. So the next attraction we did was Body Snatchers Sweeney Todd. Now, Body Snatchers returns each time, but with a new theme on top of it. You're at Mr. Black's funeral parlour, and this time he's let it out to Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd. And what I loved about this attraction more is that the sheer length of it, actually. You forget how long it is when you only go through, say, half of it or two-thirds of it here on their out-of-season attractions. So it was good to see how long it is. And there's some really good scares in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, definitely. We had the Sparkle. We had lots of actors really intense with this. And there was a new scene in there that basically used the chairs from last season at the beginning attraction, I think. I can't remember quite now what it's called. But it was sort of a set scene where the lights would go out, the policeman was there, we were looking for Sweeney Todd, and then he appeared. It was quite a cool little showpiece, wasn't it? So the next attraction was the last attraction before the upcharge of Psychomantium, and that was the Hooding. And you know what we're like here on the Scare Trap podcast? Hooded mazes seem to be a love-hate relationship. Some people love them, some people hate them. Hannah, you're not a huge fan of hooded mazes?
No, I've never been, and I don't think I ever will be. Yeah. There's been one hooded maze in my life that's ever made me go, oh, okay, I've enjoyed that. And then when I've gone through it again, I haven't. Mm. And this one, unfortunately for me, was just...
It's because you're more of a visual scare.
Yeah, if you put a hood on my head, I don't get scared. I spend the whole time thinking, right, I need to navigate where I'm going. I can't see. I'm getting all sweaty on my face because my breath is hitting the hood and then hitting my face, and I'm getting really hot. A whole in my head kind of thing. I prefer having my eyes open.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that totally. But then you can look at it on the other side of things, where I'm quite in the middle. Sometimes I'll enjoy scare mazes with hoods. There's other times I'm like, oh, this is a nuisance. I think this one was quite easy to navigate, so it wasn't too that wasn't on my mind too much. But I know what you mean. Some people just need to be visually able to see the scares. I spoke to her about spoke a lot at length with it with Dan from UK Haunters, and he's been studying UK scare attractions, doing his documentary. And if you get scared more by visually being scared of things, then hooded attractions aren't going to do anything for you. However, people who are sort of scared of the dark or scared of not being able to see what's there in front of them, people that is a touching attraction. Then I heard people screaming. So you can see how general public may think, oh my god, the hooded mazes are terrifying, because you don't know where you're going.
Oh yeah, no, I completely see how it can scare other people. I just, every time I see a hood, I go, ugh.
Yeah. It's not for you, definitely it's not for you. But again, at least that gives it a sort of, you can't say that any two attractions here at Scare Kingdom are the same. At least it gives it a good diversity, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's something here for everyone. No matter what you're scared of, there's something here for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Including sick and twisted half-naked people.
Which I don't know why anyone would want to do this. I mean, I've done it in the past. The promo video that Scare Kingdom knock around every year is actually me in Psychomantia.
It is indeed. That is Hannah.
So I can't believe... past Hannah actually went through this, because I don't think I'd do it nowadays. Although, I'm potentially hearing what it was like today, I probably would have done today's.
Yeah, so Psychomantium, if you don't know, where have you been? It's the UK's sickest attraction, as said so by the Sun newspaper. And it was basically, it's a sick and twisted psychosexual one-on-one, or you can go into just twos now, scare attraction, which... It's not so much a scare attraction, it's more of a immersive, disgusting experience as such. We don't like to tell people what's happened in Psychomantium, because it's a little bit of a secret, it's a little bit of a hush-hush. We can give a couple of things, but not everything. I did get ridden by a Catwoman type-esque person. I did have to root around in a toilet a little bit. I did take a shot of something that tasted very nasty. But that is all I'm going to tell you. It was, Psychomantiums are all similar but very different. I like the idea of this time it was trick or treat. You could choose the route you went. So if you chose a treat, you would have done something different to if you chose a trick.
Oh, that's cool.
But I chose a treat the first time, and that was a shot. And I chose a trick the second time, and I got ridden by Catwoman. So I'm going to have a trick every time, please. So yeah, there's a mixture of things in there, and you, like I say, I think if you went in as twos, one would have a trick, one would have a treat. It mixes it up a little bit for an idea that's been here probably about 5 years now. Psychomantium, definitely been here a little while. One thing that we do need to mention before we wrap up this this episode of the Scare Trap podcast
is the bar.
Is Hannah went to the bar. how Psychomantium is now a non-touching attraction. Now,
I think that's why I might have done it this year, if I'd known that beforehand.
Definitely, yeah, I don't think it said beforehand.
Well, no,
you couldn't
see
anywhere.
The sign said physical contact.
Yeah. So they have gone for the non-touching route. Now, I personally, being a quote unquote insider of the business, know why they've done that. I'm not going to divulge any of that information here. It's a decision that Sky Kingdom have chose to do, and they'll probably see at the end of the season that they've chose a correct way to do it. Potentially, maybe it works best for them. It did feel weird for me going through Psychomantium at my own leisure, kind of thing. It was a little bit different, not being forced into do things, but it didn't make any of the scenes any less grotesque, intense, or in your face. The actors worked the space very, very well. They were very, very close. They were very, very enforcing. It was just different to having a hood on my head pushed into a room rather than me just sauntering myself into the room. But I suppose that gives it, again, another new dimension, another new... It was a bit weird, the fact that I was happily walking into this room for these weird things to happen to me. It gave it a different element, for sure. But yeah, it is weird when I don't like to talk about other attractions, but a lot of attractions around the UK have been more touchy than ever before. And Psychomantium, the UK's sickest attraction, renowned for being very close up, personal, touchy, making you do and act in certain ways, was now not a non touching attraction, but nonetheless, the shot was grim. That was nasty. I needed a beer at the bar afterwards. But
you actually drank some of my beer when you came out, and you didn't even like beer.
I don't even like your beer, and I drank it. Yeah, it was grim. But overall, we've had a fantastic night at Scare Kingdom Scream Park. Now, unfortunately, we are very, very close to the end of the season, which means that
you
wouldn't be able to get any tickets to come to Scare Kingdom. They are here for the next few nights. So if you're listening to this today and you might be able to get tickets for tonight or tomorrow, then definitely get it done. But if you can't, make sure you are here for their Christmas festival attractions. They have Manor Mortis is back with the 13 Nights of Christmas. They have Body Snatchers, Grand Gugnol, and they have Psychomantium Bloody Effing Christmas. I'm not too sure I like the sound of that.
It sounds bloody.
It does sound a little bit grim. Hannah, you had a good night here at Sky Kingdom?
I've had a great night.
Yeah, it's been a really, really fun night. It's a very different kind of event, like we said earlier. It's a multi-part attraction, so you do one, then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. That means no queuing in between attractions, which is really, really great. And it means that you can enjoy the atmosphere at the bar afterwards at the end of the night.
It just immerses you. You just go in through the door and that's it. You're in Scare Kingdom until you come out the end. There's no, oh, I'm going to pop to the toilet, or I'm going to phone my mum. You're in it for an hour.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks to Scare Kingdom for letting us come and check out your attractions. We sincerely do appreciate it. And as usual, you've blown us away. We've had a fantastic time. Guys, I'm going to send it back over to myself in the studio so I can let you know how to get your tickets for the next event here at Scare Kingdom. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
So there you go, guys. As you can tell, we had a fantastic time at Scare Kingdom Scream Park. A huge sort of selection of scares, different types of attractions, which is great to see at Scream Park. Nothing was too samey at all, especially the Sick and Twisted Psychomantium. They're running until the 2nd of November, so if you're close to the area, guys, you can still get a night in. They're open for another 4 nights, so go to www.scarekingdom.com. That's scarekingdom.com to get your tickets. Failing that, they are open throughout the season, so we have their Christmas Festival on Friday the 13th of December, Valenterra on Saturday the 15th of February 2020, and they have on the Saturday the 2nd of May 2020, halfway to Halloween, Paul Walpurgis night is coming to Scare Kingdom Scream Park. So like I say, scarekingdom.com, get your tickets now. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. Remember to join us over on our social media channels. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track and you'll be able to see on there very shortly a promo code for discounted merch sales. That's right, we have got a discount sale for Halloween Day only, 25% off on all Scare Track merchandise. Remember to join us over on our website, scaretrack.co.uk, where you can check out our merch sales, our Patreon page, our podcast, and of course Scarecam as well over on our YouTube channel. So a huge thank you to Scare Kingdom for letting us come and check out your attractions once again, and a huge thank you to everyone listening at home. We'll see you on the next episode, guys. We'll be right back.